I'll discuss still with the few questions that the team decided I'm answer. The first comment is on the national rail policy. To comment on the issues that were raised by the honourable members is that on the national rail transport policy, we have a draft in paper that we have developed, which we have submitted last year to the cabinet committee, and there were issues we are supposed to finalise with the public enterprises as the two interested departments, and we'll be resubmitting back to the cabinet committee in August. I think what is critical about the policy is really to fill the policy vacuum and address the previous issues that has happened to the railways, which has led to the underinvestment that the Deputy Minister has alluded to. So we see the policy as the step in the right direction, and we'll make sure it's finalized. On the Moloto Rail Development Corridor, the completion on the APP by March 2018 means that if things go according to the plan, TA1 is approved by National Treasury, then left TA2 as the procurement process, and then the TA3 as the obviously finalizing of the financial close and the concessionaire who run the process, which then means that if those process goes into plan, by 2018 you'll have turn setting, which means that the construction will then begin. And with regard to the Moloto Corridor, is that we have made some progress, and the minister, as part of the TA1 approval process, she'll be launching the project management office with PRASA on the 25th of July. On the colorful diagram of the core network on the rail infrastructure, there were questions about what does the map represent, and what the technical terms used in terms of high density, and what do we then mean by that. The map basically shows the rail network, and the high density is your lines where you have high activity in terms of rail, and that's basically your coal line, your iron, the iron line, which is basically the high density line, will be freight focused and basically from port to port, port to rail corridors. And you are what then it means by 2MGTK is basically a technical term which is used to measure the intensity of infrastructure in terms of how it's used and the commodities that is moved, which really means the lines that are high density are defined, which are doing 2 million gross ton kilometers of traffic per kilometer track, which is basically your loaded trains and empty wagons which moves on that particular line. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Who's left?
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members. Mine is to answer three questions. Is basically on the freight data bank. Indeed, we are updating the current data bank. Mm-hmm. Probably we just need to clarify it in the slide. As the current data bank is extremely outdated, its baseline figures are 2001 baseline figures. So we are updating it, actually, indeed. And secondly, with regards to the Spatial Planning Urban Management Act, we did actually made inputs to that particular process as a branch in the department, and we are indeed participating in the implementation of that particular act. In relation to the last comment made on the single transport economic regulator, The intention, Honourable Chairperson, is basically to consolidate and integrate the existing regulators within the space of transport. But secondly, it's just to deal with the issue of radical economic transformation in relation to how we begin to become a competitive sector as an industry. But secondly, how do we begin to independently determine our price and tariffs within the sector? But thirdly is how do we begin to enable access to the market by those who have been denied access to the market before? And lastly is to deal with slot allocations. We have a bill, consultative process that I've indicated earlier, that we are engaging all these regulators within our own department as well as outside the department. We would probably, as per the request of the committee, if needs be, after the consultative process or so, come and present the detailed outcome of those processes of consultation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You left? The last?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
and
you,
then I will start with yourself, Honorable Khader, and then Honorable Sibande, you wanted a second bite, and Honorable Ramatlakane. Anything from you, Honorable? Okay, thank you. Those will be the three, and then that will be the last round. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. There were four questions that were asked. Three questions and one comment in relation to aviation. The first one was in our definition of the role of the department, you don't mention anything about affordability. There's a question of efficiency. Our belief, we speak of efficient transport. Efficient transport could lead to affordability and accessibility to other people. We are concerned that there's a model of low fare carriers, which the failure rate in South Africa has been pretty high. And those were the ones that then give accessibility and affordability in terms of the people to be using air transport. There are plans in place to learn from each other because there's two surviving ones, the Kulula and the Mango, and they are quite successful. So that model should then be permitted to other people so they can also be successful, so that we can have more people using aviation. The second one was the landing strips. Yes, there's a concern about the security of in these landing strips, and measures have been put in place. Regulations are, we've got draft regulations that compels each and every strip to be registered and to renew their license each and every 2 years, so that their operations should be monitored by Civil Aviation Authority. The last question was the question of Mahikeng Airport or aviation activity around the northwest. The province has a plan of resuscitating flights between Mahikeng and Lanseria. So they are looking for a carrier that can assist them in that. I think that's the only province where it doesn't have air connectivity between major hubs like Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban International Airport. So plans are afoot to try and make sure that the Mahikeng Airport that does is used to its capacity. The last was a comment on pilotless aircraft. The question is that the regulations will guide as to how are they used in South Africa. They are currently being used. And it's an industry that will develop in South Africa because South Africa produces them. Dinel produces them, but they export most of them. And also there are players who are using unmanned air vehicles right now, like ESCOM. They are also using for anti-rhino poaching, medical samples. The people who are doing films, they want to use these vehicles, and also people who are drawing maps, they want to use these vehicles in order to make life easier for them. Thank you, Chan.
Chair, I guess most of the questions have been asked, but the issue of the e-toll, you know, is not, I was expecting, you know, our operators to ask about it because, you know, he likes e-toll, but he didn't ask, you know. But I think Honorable Bande will also finish up with some of my questions. Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with your permission, allow me to comment something to the department. There was one, I don't respond, but to correct something in terms of procedure. Like one of our colleagues, unfortunately, she's not here, raised an issue that in terms of the documents which are given to us from the department, I mean, there are a lot of bundles and bundles of documents. I was going to say, please, department, don't stop to give us information. Give us information as much as you can. The thing, the ball lies between us. I'll put an example. I'm from NCOP, whereby I was working, I think I was serving in 9 departments. Just imagine if I complain with 1 department, what about 9 departments? So please don't hesitate. I'll put an example. There are times where there are people giving presentations and I'm like, we like to know exactly that those information. Give us information as much as you can. Please DM and the department. The ball lies on us whether we are prepared to read or not. And then come to some of the bites. 10%. As I indicated, that through your permission, I wanted maybe to request something, maybe so that I can give this opportunity to the department to elaborate more, to give us more information. Because sometimes, you know, with us, we are making mistakes. There was an issue which was also raised, one of my colleagues, about the issue of scholar transport. Not the scholar transport exactly only. He raised, he raised that some of Abu Malume, the transport which they are using. It's not Umalume only. What about employers, in particular in farms, where they are using tractors to ferry people? That also must be addressed. If we wanted to come with the law, we must have a law to protect that. I'll put an example. Like us, we're from Mpumalanga. There was a horrible accident whereby a truck driver, a lorry driver, he was about to cross a railway line. There was an accident. A very, very, very sensitive accident which happened. All died. This is because of the weakness of the type of transport which we are using. So also, I wanted to raise maybe a few which I wanted to request maybe to take to task the department, even if they don't respond now, to make them a bad cause. Last term, there was a serious debate and interaction between the portfolio committee and the select committee with the issue of the cross-border issue between Lesotho and South Africa. I think we ought to be taken on board to check exactly what is it, because Minister DM, what is happening? I'll put an example. Like now, as I'm speaking to you, there is a fight in the street. They are fighting. Not even borders. Within. I think this route, we must be firm. The department must be firm. In terms of issuing licenses, we must be fair, because it creates problems. Some of the people, they just take chances because they realized that in nowadays, once you, whatever, you must take people on the street. While sometimes, not always, sometimes the license doesn't allow that particular individual to use that route. So we must have measures. Take us on board. And then what I wanted to raise, on page 33 on your presentation in terms of energy consumption, I thought somebody would touch it. You said you will you spoke about the reduction of strategy developed, I mean, which we have there. If you can elaborate, I'll put an example. You see, DM, my little experience, there was a high rate of people stealing cables and the like of part of any, because cable is helping. That's why we are having problems. So people are taking, burning trains because trains are late, of which is not your responsibility. Nobody instructed people to go and burn trains because the train is late, while they witnesses within the community itself. But if you can elaborate more, how do you deal about that issue? And then about a few things. Last term, there was a problem or a challenge between RAL and GAL about the responsibility, whereby the issue of empowering, or the BEE, one lady was owning a pub right at the airport. Office, the contradiction, DM. There are a lot of these things, even in OR Tambo, there is part. Because myself is that, because it's a black and a woman, so you must take us on board, because I know that there was something which was done by the department in order to resolve those particular problems. Because some of the people, instead of raising the issue, if the person doesn't pay, they wanted to raise this, if this color does own this, this color is not authorized to be there. Only this color is authorized to be there. If you can take us on board. And then the two ones. One is about the bridge. We are requesting, we are appealing. MC, I've forgotten the name of the river. If we are on the Tugela River. On top of Tugela River, there is a small bridge, and it's long. One car at a time. One way. They are using a robot. And this bridge is part of the contributing factors of the conflicts. Because if your car is stuck inside the bridge, it means that the traffic doesn't go anymore. May you please assist that on that one? Because we raised it several times. I thought that it should come in our budget as well. Because I believe that that road doesn't belong to the local government, but it belongs either the province or national, between the two. Because it linked some of them, Singer and what, some of Great Town. And then also, partially, you responded to some of these roads. I think we must have laws, if possible, DM. Because I'll put an example, like R23 between Stratford and Balfour, and also N17, which starts from Springs going down to Pietersdief, and like in particular in like small towns in Bethal, when it comes in. When it comes in, it belongs to national government. Once it goes inside the town, it belongs to the local government. The province one, I don't think that some of these municipalities do have capacity to deal about that road. Because the type of the roads, when they repair, I think the standard is not the same. And they don't have so much capacity. That road is particularly that one of Bethel, I don't know how many times it was repaired. And that one of R23, I don't know how many times it was repaired. That one of Bethel, like now, as I'm talking to you, it doesn't have even a year or 2 years after being repaired. But now it's damaged because of heavy freights. And then the one of Sanaton, there was difficulties of who owns the road, is the SANRAL or whatever. Because it's people are anticipating, either we put a bridge, people to cross, whatever. Because it's having some challenges in terms of the usage of that road. And then there is one also which I wanted to raise, which I wanted to request from the... Yeah, you see, at the end, I'm happy about, let me start with this one, with the civil aviation. You see, I think they also do have a challenge. I know, because we once visited, Nadel, something like that, where they took some kids to go to learn and to be educated about this. What programs do you have in order to take them to the rural masses who were disadvantaged in the past? Because as long the transport doesn't have some programs of attracting those youth, forget. It won't transform. And in particular, because what when we visited in Nadel, most of the kids which were there belonging over to the advantaged people. And then look, if you can check now, if you can make your own research about the pilots, how many black pirates, in particular, facts are not racist. Let me correct that word first, because some people, they've got their own interpretation. I mean, the people who have, they still dominate in that category because of they do have power. But the people doesn't have, who didn't have, they are still struggling, of which I believe that we must have programs in which we are going to utilize in order to get more pilots. Because our levels, air hostess is pale only. That's the only way. But do pilots forget? And then the issue of the other one, yes, ma'am, I agree. No matter you said that you met with some of the local governments in terms of the of roads and what. But what I would propose, why don't we or the department make some means? Maybe to identify so that we can have a target, that so that with that target and then we set our goal that by when we want this road and this road to be rectified in terms of our terms. I don't want to regret my term. I'll put an example. Northern Cape is linking Botswana and South Africa. But go there and look at the roads there. Very poor. National roads, I don't mean provincial ones. Very, very poor, and most, and go to the areas. I know some people, if in Joburg or Durban or Western Cape, if we do, they are in fact this renovation of the roads, there's nothing if billions are used for consultants. But you go to the rural area, Mkandule or Rikumbu, in terms of rural development, once you put there, they start to ask questions. Why you develop there? Because there are these colors playing there. So it must be, I mean, if you talk about rural development or any development, it mustn't be colorblind. But it must be a purpose of linking us. Because in terms of some of the protocols, someone was speaking about the protocols to link South Africa from Cape to Cairo. Some of the roads they passed there in those rural areas. So we can't become a blind eye that when wanted to put in it, in particular in Eastern Cape, shame and disgrace, DM, in some of the places, but they are using sleep, I don't know what to call it, sleep, because there are no means of transport. I went to one area, they call it Edward Dwayne. When it's raining, a crisis. Even an ambulance, they are using sleep. I don't know how to call it, a sleigh. They are using sleep. Some people are not, some people are not exposed about sleep. But I know very well that if something, one day, if you are saying, you're talking about rural development, you'll make a lot of hula banu. While we have joint airports and what airports. But in terms of our site, if we are saying, we want something in Limpopo, mama, you are from there. I'm a crisis. I'm a little bit concerned because my colleague, I thought that he was going to propose something. He was a former traffic cop. If you go to that area, it's west. People are struggling. Here comes the Easters for pilgrimage. So it's west with it. Because it's only known that only one road goes there. Without that, nobody, people are supposed to go to Zimbabwe. Nobody, people go to what, whatever. So this is my last contribution. But thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, thank you very much for giving me another second bite. The acting DG, I appreciate the response that DORA is the vehicle. But there are still some weaknesses within it. But I do think that as a transferring authority, as a Department of Transport in terms of the other public transport transfer function. Surely there should be some in-house agreement that you enter into with the cities and the major cities that you are doing a transfer. That there is a stopgap measures that you put in place. You may, while you understand the Dora thing, but just to follow on the on my colleague, some of the resources that are earmarked for certain functions at those municipalities are diverted to other functions which they were not necessarily intended for. I'm not sure you're going to be happy as a DG that you see that happening perpetual, because in other words, you're failing as a state to do what you're supposed to do. So there must be some constraint measures that in-house can be developed, that can be monitored through your own interaction process. The second part is the time frame, you know, the time frame issue of filling this vacant post. I didn't quite hear it so clear, DM, when you were talking. The acting chief director, acting this, acting that. To some degree, there must some kind of be a time frame. I will leave it there, and then so that we can monitor it. Interesting characterization that I listened to earlier on the bus only contract. This term. Now, I mean, it's 20 years in democracy, 20 years since 1994 democratic breakthrough. If we continue in perpetual with this notion of bus only contract, this has been a long debate and a long battle. And the reason why the route permit was introduced was to try and deal with this lifelong permit and monopoly of permit. And if I can remember, there was an issue in the Western Cape, there was an issue in, I think it was Gauteng. There were three provinces. I don't know, I can't remember why there was an issue about Star somewhere, I think. There were three problems where there was this problem. But I thought the Land Transport Act and all other policies that subsequently were introduced, including the network, was dealing with that particular aspect. I don't think we should, the department should accept this notion. That, because if we're going to continue with that, that is going to be exclusion for life. And we can't. I mean, that issue was long. So I think it should be one of the radical economic transformation tasks that we, as a department, undertake. I don't know what it takes to change that. But if we continue to do it and talk about it, that term worries me, because it gives legitimacy for life. And if we as a department starting to own that term, recognizing the existence of that term, it's even much difficult to change it. I can't overemphasize that issue, because I remember vividly that issue, those big companies. But I think it has to be dealt with. Because if we don't, this network is going to be just really just network, but it's not going to be anything. It's going to be Irish coffee. It's not going to mean anything to the small and medium enterprise that needs to get involved in the transport sector. I mean, there's been a lot of study done, including the study in Curitiba, this study there, how they move from minibus taxis into a bus operation. So that was always, I thought it was more kind of a educating all of us to be quite really manage this, massage those big and massage the small to coexist in that particular sector. Let me leave it, Chair, and then go to the last point I just want to make, also by way of just throwing this in a pot in the aviation, in a sense that the it's quite interesting to listen to the success of model, this model of Menko and Kulula model. But I think, I don't think efficiency necessarily addressed the point I make. The issue about affordability and efficiency is efficiency may deal with the kind of wastage of resource or this kind of thing, but I'm talking about breaking the market for the market to be able to accommodate all classes in society. That's what I'm talking about when I'm raising the issue about affordability. I mean, there is this issue about that for years has been kicked around that we're losing seeds. 3 million seeds are not necessarily having anybody in a year from AXA. If you were to introduce from the state to introduce something called standby fare, meant for the class that is unable to afford the full ticket, you'll be able to make a break into that so that you are beginning to change the patterns. Maybe something at NDG that you could have a conversation about the people that deals with this. It's actually breaking the new ground, breaking something new ground. Rather than the 3 million seats per annum not necessarily having anybody on, you can introduce something that brings in resources into it. That's just a comment I want to throw in the pot so that as you process these issues about, but I do think that the term efficiency worries me because it will perpetual. It may just be a slippage of language that can perpetually putting us into a box that we're not going to be able to get out of. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Because you're not here when we did the recycle, start the whole thing.
Are you
still going to take a mandate?
Yes. Let's
thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Chair, yeah, I have some few follow-up questions in addition on the previous one in terms of the civil aviation. I'm happy about the new development about my gang re-establishment of the airport, that side, which shows the department is also stretching arms to the to our people there. And the National Civil Aviation Policy and the National Airport Development Plans, those are also overstretched in terms of the time frame because they're all going to be approved or adopted in 2016, March. So another question is about the maritime, yes. I wanted to know about the monitoring of our dams, vessels and ships, the strategy to monitor our dams apart, because it's more or in the presentation it's more about the sea. We never heard anything about the dams. So National Maritime Transport Policy must also include the dams. And we wanted to know in terms of the maritime, their relationship with the security cluster, more especially the SAPS and the SANDAF, in case of the security in our sea level, that maybe they do they have that relationship with the security cluster in terms of the protections of the transportation on our seas. The public transport arm to my colleagues here, others, they talk about, honorable members, they talk about the buggy transportation, scholar transport. It's a worrying factor because when the accident happened, children carried by the buggy is convicted to be a public a transportation vehicle. So we need some law or something to regulate such. And also in terms of the rural transportation, where they're using the same buggies as their mode of transport, donkey cart and elsewhere. The other issue is about the intermodal taxi ranks. We want to be updated because we heard about the pilot project which started 2012. How many taxi, intermodal taxi ranks, how many are functioning? Are we winning on that style of taxi ranks? Also the issue of recap, others they raised the concern about how is the taxi recap, but he replied in terms of they even extended the amount to 70,000 rand, and now we are covered there. But we want a radical transport transformation, a microwave policies where things must be done in terms of our transport system. Thank you, Shepard.
Thank you very much. I don't know if it's possible for the department to microwave every policy so that we can be able to proceed faster. I'm going to allow the department some 10 minutes to respond to most of the issues that have been raised. And I think once we have done that, for sure, as a committee, there will be issues that we believe the department, having spoken to us, we should be able to concretize, but they will come to the department through formal channels once we have done that. Then we can allow department and remain for 10, 15 minutes so that we are able to finalize what we believe we can be able to talk to department about. DF, acting DG, it's yours.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me. I think in this one, I suggest I be systematic in responding to each of the issues raised. But let me start first with the issue around efficiency. I agree with the Honorable Ahmad Lankana that efficiency and affordability are two sides of a separate coin, not necessarily the same coin. Because in efficiency, you are trying to deal in one part with market failure. But affordability is mainly about access. And I think it's something that we need to go back and look at, because it's not the same. My apologies, and I think probably it's the slip of the tongue. The second issue around the radical economic transformation of the bus space, I think there is a lot that is happening, and I'm sure we will come back to the committee around how we are beginning to transform the bus space. The department has been very clear that in the public transport subsidy space, and that's why we're moving away from calling it the bus subsidy, but rather public transport subsidy, because 65% of the traveling public is moved by taxis and are not subsidized. And therefore, there is a huge room and space for them to come in and be subsidized, because we are now moving away from subsidizing operators into subsidizing the user. So in that context, therefore, the public transport subsidy would then form the basis of the strategy which the Honorable Ramat Lagana is talking to. So that indeed I agree, because if we do not transform this, then it becomes, we legitimize this for life. Either be it the Golden Arrow in the Cape, PATCO in Gauteng, Star in Northwest, and in Limpopo. The second issue is around DORA. I think I agree, and hence the measures we're putting in place. The challenge with DORA is because there's a third party involved, which is always Treasury. Because the transferring authority, which is us, and the receiving and executing authority, in the context of province of municipalities, we agree. But then Treasury says, if this therefore is the agreement. When we then invoke some of the sections and trying to, say, enforce issues around performance, Treasury says, no, which is the question was asked about delay in payment, because we've done that in instance. And that therefore has a negative impact on service delivery. But what we then have done, in addition to DORA, that's why we say we want these MOUs, because an MOU outside of the DORA framework is what the two parties can use to manage. But the DORA framework gets become an act of parliament. Once then that gets enacted and the gazette is signed by the Minister of Finance, it shall happen in that fashion. Because if we now need to move funds from one area to the other, we've got to have this legislative process. You first give them a notice of 30 days. They fail to perform in 30 days. You then give them another notice to then. So it becomes a cumbersome process. So, but therefore, we want to say we are wanting to use the MOUs as means to wanting to deal with that. But I'm not sure, because I'll ask the CFO and Matawata to come in on the specificity. But by and large, that's the broad thrust of what we would want to do. In responding to the issues by Honorable Sabanda, I think let me start with the cross-border issues, the Lesotho. Yes, these are serious and massive challenges. Minister and I went to Lesotho about 2-3 weeks ago to deal with these matters, because the matters came to a head on the 3rd of June when the border was closed, blockaded by operators, tax operators. And therefore, it created a diplomatic problem, because people from Lesotho couldn't go through, us couldn't go through, goods couldn't go through. So it was just gridlock. And it's a simple issue. People who own licenses or permits to move people cross-border from Gauteng or any other province in the land other than in the Free State are being blocked from moving people from wherever the provinces they come from, across the Free State into Lesotho. And if we make a mistake, at some point you talked about the federal, us being not the federal government. If we let that situation in the Free State take place, there's no reason why people in the Popo can't say, you come from Great Bridge, you drop, we take from Great Bridge, Musina, to the rest of the country. That will create a huge diplomatic problem. It will create a huge security challenge. It is a problem. It's a problem that is being dealt with. Yes, we are working with the security cluster. The question was, are working with the security cluster? The department indeed is working with the security cluster, not only in maritime, but on all other matters related to transport, because transport is the key for movement of people. And therefore, the protection of that physical infrastructure becomes really and critically important. The issue around energy consumption, what we're saying here is that transport being the second biggest emitter of greenhouse gases in the country and globally, it becomes our responsibility to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, because fossil fuels in their nature are destructive to the environment. And therefore, our view is that how do we and what mechanisms do we need to put in place to explore alternative energy sources? One of the programs we are beginning to talk about, it's not in the thing, but we are doing, is the issue around CNG, converting all public transport vehicles into CNG. Possibly look at converting trucks into CNG, because that's what public transport is. They create the most number of movements. They also create and release the most number of emissions if you combine public transport movements and freight traffic movements. That's where the biggest number is. Of course, aviation and maritime, to a lesser extent in private car. But those two are the ones that we think we want to look at. So the reduction strategy is about saying, what is therefore our contribution in the reduction of reliance on fossil fuels and looking at other alternative energy sources. I agree with Honorable Sabande and Honorable Chaperson around the issue around copper cables in Cape Town. We've been talking to the security cluster, but as well as I personally have raised it at the NICOC staff with the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee, around we've got to really criminalize this thing, because it is economic sabotage. You close a railway line, it affects not only the traveling public, but it affects a number of people in downstream. The issue around R23 is a provincial road. It's a road owned by both Gauteng and by both Mpumalanga. When you come out of Balfour, before you get to Vreelandstad, it's still Gauteng. But post that, then it becomes thing owned by Mpumalanga and up until to Standard. These are the types of roads that we've identified. You see, the biggest problem with some of these roads is that some of them move more freight than you would find in some of the national roads. So one of the key issues is saying, let's no longer look at issues around ownership, but let's look at functional use of a road. I generally use M2 in Joburg, but also use the R300 in the Western Cape. M2 in Joburg moves more freight than you'd ever move in N17 and N6 combined. And this is the municipal road. So if you were to close M2, you will cripple both Joburg and the Northeastern Free State economic city completely. If you were to close the R300 here in the Western Cape, you'd totally cripple half of the economic potential of this province. So we're moving away from now ownership, but rather to economic use and functional use, because that's what we need, and so that we then provide the necessary investment. A number of routes, the R10 in Mpumalanga that comes from MLO, Carolina and all those going up. Those are roads that move at least in 2011, it moved about 10 million tons. And it's a provincial road. And you could see on the nature of the road that it is and was getting a serious beating. Therefore, those are some of the issues, and that's the ownership type model we are looking for. In terms of aviation transformation, Zakela will come in, but by and large, that there are 110 schools that we've identified that in rural areas that we want to take aviation to. So there is indeed that problem. I will investigate the issue around RAL and GAL and the issue around the PAP in the airport. I'm sure dealing with matters of the throat. But, and then the Curitiba example around bus operations, it's an exercise that Matabat just went to Brazil recently. It's an exercise that I'm sure we will, in the relook of what needs to be done, we will in fact be using as an example. The issues as raised around the monitoring of dams, indeed it's true. The issue around dams, we now have a draft inland water strategy, water wizards, because of the non-navigable nature of our rivers. Inland water strategy looks at the use of dams use of boats, I mean, what do you call this thing, boats and yachts, but also how they then interact with recreation as well as with, we then have developed regulations to deal with that. So that is being dealt with under the inland water strategy. The relationship we have with the security cluster, yes, continues, and that's what we will continue to do. The intermodal nature of taxi ranks, it's the intermodal nature of the integrated public transport network that we're looking at, that we are doing. I'm not allocating or delegating upward, but I think some of the ones that are in the official space, I think I've sufficiently dealt with them. Through the chairperson, as the DM, the leadership to conclude and close up.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I will just respond to one issue raised and just maybe make my closing remarks, if that is in order with the chairperson. Okay. Now, thank you, chairperson. I will probably want to briefly respond on the question of ETOL. And in doing so, I will say that this portfolio committee will be the first to know if there are changes in the implementation of the ETOL. This is because it is this portfolio committee that processed a legislation. And if that legislation is to be repealed or amended, it will be the first to know. And therefore, for now, and as we speak, ETOL is in force, and we want to encourage people in Gauteng to continue taking their cars, and we will await the process that is unfolding in the provincial legislature in Gauteng. But otherwise, we have a legislation, and we are enforcing that legislation. If there is any change, it could come to this portfolio committee. I think that is all. And I think maybe one other issue that I want to again raise on the issue is the fact that the minister in the morning said we need to engage and discuss the issue of road infrastructure funding model. And I want to believe that that is adequate to actually address many of the issues, not just the ETOL, not only the tolling system, but the whole road infrastructure funding. And I think that is adequate for me to respond to the question. But I just want to then, Chairperson, take this opportunity to thank you and thank the honorable members, yourself, Chairperson, the members of the Portfolio Committee, the acting DG, the senior management of the Department of Transport, for having had this meeting. We want to thank you and appreciate the opportunity you've given us to present our stretch plan, annual performance plan, as well as the budget for the current year, which is the new financial year 2014-15. And I want also to thank my members for congratulating us, the minister and myself, for being reappointed to lead the Department of Transport. And also equally congratulate you, Chairperson, as the minister said in the morning, but also the members of the Portfolio Committee for being nominated by the parties to serve as MPs, as well as to serve in this very important strategic Portfolio Committee on Transport. We know, Chairperson, that Parliament is one of the three arms of the state, and Parliament is established in terms of the Act and in terms of the Constitution of the country. And we also equally understand that the Portfolio Committee do their work. In fact, it does its work on behalf of Parliament, or to be specific, this one, it does its work on behalf of the National Assembly. We have taken into account issues that were raised by the Portfolio Committee in this meeting today. And as we go back to the Department of Transport, under the leadership of the Minister, we will reflect into this meeting and all the issues that were raised, and where possible and where necessary, we will effect changes and improvements so that we, of course, we align with what the Portfolio Committee advised us to do. I want to also inform the portfolio committee that we have adopted the business unusual approach to fast-track economic radicalism. We have noted the recommendations from the legacy report from the previous committee. As I indicated, it was only adopted in May, and at the time we actually had finalized some of the processes regarding the development or processing of the APP and the strategic plans, but we have time to revisit it and check if there are anything that things that need to be added in those documents. We will act with haste in filling the vacant posts. We've heard the portfolio committee raising this repeatedly. And of course, we may even confirm to the portfolio committee that the minister has raised this matter quite a number of times, and we do believe that the department is doing everything to speed up the processing or the filling of the vacant posts. The empowerment of women, youth, and people living with disabilities is receiving our full attention, and indeed it is being strengthened. And the acting DG is seized with that responsibility, and he is actually attending to it. Our main objective is providing an integrated transport system that is safe, that is secure, that is affordable, so as to drive a radical economic transformation and make South Africa move forward. We confirm our unwavering commitment to accountability, and may also indicate that in case where the minister, the deputy minister, and even the acting DG or DG at a particular time are not able to lead the Department of Transport delegation to Parliament, there will always be a DDG who at any time will lead the delegation. What we're actually saying that we will not have a team that comes before the portfolio committee led by any person at the level below the DDG, if not the DG, the deputy minister or the minister. And on behalf of the minister, myself, the DG and Team Transport, we really want to appreciate the support of the portfolio committee and look forward to working well with the portfolio committee. I want to thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM. I think we need to applaud ourselves and the department. I'm saying this because in the beginning it was stated that it's the first time that we had both the minister and the deputy minister. And for sure I can take it further that the DM spending the whole day with us here, it's an indication of how this leadership is taking the work of government serious. But also to thank the officials from the Department of Transport for, because everybody who was speaking here was talking about the way you have taken it so serious, the inputs that you have put into the documentation for the committee, and in particular many new members of this committee, including myself, would be able to understand where we are going, how we would be able to handle this portfolio going forward. We really appreciate that. But it is important that as this portfolio committee, we would sit down and be able to reflect, make a reflection on issues that have been raised. As has been raised particularly by the minister earlier in the morning, that there will be some legislation that will be coming through. We'll give ourselves a kind of a time frame and a timetable within which we can be able to work and make sure that those legislations and policies are processed through the necessary channels of Parliament so that a government can be able to work. But I think the other important thing that I would urge the department to really go do, because as the discussions were unfolding, there is an indication that there are policies which have been formulated in the years gone by, and therefore those policies need to be reviewed, or as has been indicated by members here, it will be important that you are able to indicate to us which are the policies that need a review, which are the policies that you will be starting afresh, because there was no clear indicators as to this, for example, the rural strategy which was spoken to. The response then that comes is that we are reviewing this policy because it's been there. So it will be important if we are able to know as to whether these policies are, it's a review, or this is a new policy that is coming through, so that we are able to work with yourself and make sure that if it's a new policy, it becomes a policy that will be able to stand the test of time. If it's a review, what are we basing how we review the policy on? Are there things that we need to throw out of the window? Are there things that we should be able to carry through? What are the new elements that we believe that, because policies are not static, what are the new things that we need to input into this whole thing? Importantly, so for sure, we'll work with yourself, particularly on the funding of transport infrastructure. It is a very crucial thing, particularly when you think of funding of infrastructure in the rural areas. When you think of the funding of infrastructure in those municipalities which actually survive on your grant, that they end up using that grant for something else other than for road infrastructure, because there are some municipalities who are like that, who actually, once you give the road infrastructure grant, instead of them focusing on making their roads accessible, particularly roads that go to strategic areas like your grave sites, your clinics, your schools, they will use it to pay the public servants in the municipality instead of doing that. So these to us are some of the important things that we need to do. Like you have indicated, that for sure, instead of focusing on how Treasury with the DORA will be able to do things, you will need to have an MOU structured in that regard. We will also looking as to how best can we be able to oversee and monitor and be able to assist you as you are in an endeavor to make sure that infrastructure doesn't become something stifling. It becomes an economic vehicle, it becomes a social vehicle, and most importantly, it becomes an environmental vehicle, as has been indicated. I thought that members would be talking to issues of the blue economy more and the green economy, but it has been very silent. For sure, in the next time when we come, we'll be able to deal with that, because this is the thing. One of the things that I was anticipating was the contribution of the department towards the reduction of gas emissions and dealing with all these economies, because we believe that these are some of the economies that will be able to create jobs if we are able to focus, if we have policies around those kind of economies. And how is our relationship as we work, because obviously there are a variety of departments that we will be working with towards making sure that we deal with the climate change and other related matters in this regard, because as gas emitters, we should be able to start partnering with a variety of departments. And I think these are some of the things that I felt going forward I will be able to talk to. But important, I will say important, because I'm coming from just a few weeks ago when I was in the Department of Education. It is very important that we should make sure that the transport for policy, scholar transport policy, is fast-tracked, because that department is taken for a ride in terms of those who are able to really bid and make sure that the learners are commuting from their areas of residence and to the schools. They get taken for a ride, particularly in the rural areas where you see the vans, where you see every other mode of transport, which actually is not even safe at the same time. I think in terms of the mandate, we are the custodian of the scholar transport, and therefore we should not be able to dilly-dally. I've always maintained, and I refused to deal with the issues of tenders of scholar transport in Limpopo. They can tell you that I was very clear that that is not my terrain. The Department of Education's role is curriculum and curriculum and nothing else. And therefore, all these other things, they must shift them to where they belong. And then they are able to focus on education and education and nothing else, because the more they take all these other policies into their ambit, the more their vision becomes blurred. And we should be able to assist the Department of Basic Education in particular to make sure that their vision becomes a very clear vision in terms of how to take education issues forward, and we remove and hive off transport policies and other related policies that affect us so that they can be able to really focus. Because for as long as we don't push that, there are some people who see it as a niche market for other people, and whereas we are playing with lives of the learners, of the learners, and in particular, it is the farm workers, learners, that suffers the most in this whole equation. And therefore, the faster we're able to process the scholar transport policy, the better it will be for us. And remember, these are socio-economic issues that we are dealing with in the ultimate end. And the better it will be for the Department of Education, because the money that is being spent there, they have been taken for a ride, because they don't understand how the dynamism of transport issues in that regard, because there are those who actually will call for so many rents per kilometer, and it differs from one location to the other, it differs from one province to the other, and therefore, if we are to bring up a policy, for sure, we should be able to deal with other things. We would really appreciate, because yesterday the CEO of RAF was on radio, talking to the levy funding policy that will be coming. Would also really appreciate if we can be appraised of this, so that we don't just get it on air just like that. It will really. I also listened to it SAFM in the evening again. It was there, and there was other people who were challenging how this is going to be functioning, because the lawyers actually, they are putting it to say it's not in the interest of those people who find themselves in the trauma or in the accident as such, because they are looking at themselves. And I think we also need to get that information so that we can be able to assist to push forward, because we would want to see reducing the accident, but at the same time, when people are involved in accidents, we should also be able, they should also be not, it's not a reward, but there should be something that goes their way in a manner that is befitting. I know that there are so many families who never got not a penny out of their bereavement, and to date, there are still those type of challenges. As it has been said, on behalf of the committee, DM informed the minister that we really appreciate how the committee is respected and how you have taken the work of the committee serious. And to the acting DG, for sure, as we will be calling you again. It will not be Hollywood. There won't be people in acting anymore, but people would have been appointed, because I think we believe that it is a Department of Transport, not a Department of Actors. Thank you very much. The committee members, if you can just quickly, for 3, 5, 10 minutes, till and with the overall, so that the secretary can be able to have something that will guide the issues that we have picked up, which we believe the department should be able to follow up. On that note, let me release the department and remain with the honorable.